America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baskin and Phelps, right here on 92.3 The Fan. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin. The AFC North, the trade deadline, put a couple of band-aids on some things, Andy. I think they did a nice job. I like the idea, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, of going out and getting Mike Williams. You've been looking for an extra wide receiver the whole time this season. Williams, to me, is a terrific wide receiver if he's healthy. And once Devontae Adams went to New York, along with Garrett Wilson, it just wasn't going to be the opportunities. And with Aaron Rodgers already throwing Mike Williams under the bus a couple of times, wasn't really going to work. So Mike goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. If he's healthy, he's a great weapon. Great weapon for Russell Wilson. Because Russ throws the deep ball, he throws it well. And Williams is the kind of guy who can go up and get a one-on-one pass and make that catch. So I like that for the Steelers. I think that's good.
Did you happen to check out Pro Football Focus and what they did with their grades? They gave out some grades along the way. First of all, they gave the Bills an A for bringing in Amari Cooper. So just to give Josh Allen another weapon. So I don't know if you want to call it. That's not really a trade deadline. That was a more of. They also give the Jets an A for bringing Devontae Adams back to be paired up with Aaron Rodgers. But just kind of looking around the AFC North, you know, the Ravens picking up a cornerback in Tre'Davious White, you know, they gave that a B. Preston Edge for the Steelers, they gave the Steelers a B-plus on that. We just talked about Mike Williams, you know, they gave them a B-plus on that. The Steelers did better. The other thing that's weird is, I mean, how often does Cincinnati try to – I mean, they had to out of necessity, right?
Well, Zach Moss has a neck injury, and he's out for the season.
Right.
So with
it was necessity.
With him being out for the season, they needed somebody. Khalil Herbert's an interesting guy.
Right.
And I don't know that he's an upper echelon NFL running back. In fact, I don't think he is. But I think he's really good, really competent. You give him the ball, he's going to come through for you. Chase Brown has taken a hold of that job. He's looked really good. So now you have somebody there. I love what Joe Burrow said about him today, because they said, you know, hey, can you put him on the field? Can he work for you? And he goes, he's standing next to me. I'll just tell him what to do. That's great.
Pro Football Focus also graded out Za'Darius Smith going to the Lions. You want to guess what the grades were?
The Lions got a B, and the Browns got a C.
The Lions got an A+.
Woo-hoo!
And the Browns got a B-.
Okay.
Right. So
A+. Is a B minus as good as an A plus?
No, but what's that averages out to an A, doesn't? No, what's that average out to? B, a low?
I don't know. My grades never got that high.
I think it's just really interesting that you trade a guy, and it's not just the Browns. This is the NFL right now. You trade a guy who, good player, starting, left defensive end for you, could always bring him back next year, although I didn't expect that to happen. And, yeah, here you go. Yeah, we'll take your fifth and sixth. Thanks. Take a seventh. Go ahead. It's like, really? Is that just a trade, or you're just like, you know, shuffling chairs on the...
On the deck of the Titanic?
On the poop deck.
Okay.
Know?
It just depends. I mean, Pro Football Focus thought, you know, most of the moves, I didn't see any Fs from them. Everything was AB, no matter what the deal was. So, I don't know, maybe they're just generous graders, or maybe they're trying to have their kids emerge. I did see a C. Because you don't want to disappoint the kids. You don't want to give them the harsh reality that if they made a really bad trade, that they would get a letter below D. Ooh. You might make the kid work harder somewhere down the road.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we learn by failing. I don't know. I'm very deep and philosophical today, so I'll stop.
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
It is. Paul and I talked about this. Not Paul DePodesta.
You know?
Paul Jones Smith.
Did you know?
Williams.
There are six teams right now. In the 16-team AFC, there are six teams that have just two wins.
Yes. Was it nine overall?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
What does that say about the league right now? Like, it's got to be driving the NFL crazy. Although, I will say this, when you talk about, like, give me the NFC South. So the NFC South has two teams that are 2-7. Atlanta 6-3. I don't know. I just look at that NFC West and it just drives me crazy. It drives me insane. Cardinals are 5-4. The worst team is 4-5. All these four loss teams, they have hope for the rest of the season. What do I have? I have none.
Riddle me this.
Yeah.
Our buddies at Pro Football Talk, and Mike Florio was with us when? Yesterday. We had Mike on the show, which always love talking to Mike Florio. One of his guys, Josh Alper, wrote a story on Andrew Berry's press conference. The headline is, Kevin Stefanski is absolutely part of the solution, which we heard Andrew Berry say. And then he said this, second paragraph, and Josh Alper wrote this. You tell me.
Okay.
There doesn't appear to be much question that Berry and head coach Kevin Stefanski will be around as the team tries to turn things around in the future.
What do I think of that?
Yeah,
I think that's someone that thinks that the Haslams have learned from their own past, that they didn't want to be in a big hurry to dismiss something just because it's on the down right now. Because we've seen the positives from these guys. We have. Whether you want to hear it or not, whether you think that Stefanski needs to be fired, whether you think Berry needs to be fired, I compliment you on having the passion to have the energy to think such things. But by the same token, if you could just step back for a minute, think about what the problems might really be, and then take a look at it and say to yourself, you know, he was 2-time coach of the year. I know it doesn't mean anything, blah, 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 blah. Well,
no, it means he did a nice job that season.
I mean, you heard what Andrew...
It truly does.
Yeah, yeah,
seriously.
You heard what Andrew said about all those other 2-time coaches of the year and how far they've gone. I think they'll have more patience than you'll ever think. And the only way this goes sideways...
Well, I was wondering this, because when I read that, I thought... Immediately, this thought popped into my head. So does that mean the next 8 games to finish out this season are inconsequential when it comes to the folks who might be leading this team? In other words, if the Browns go 1-7 the rest of the way and end up with 3 wins, is Kevin safe? If they go 1-7, is Andrew Berry safe? End up, they good to go because they're going to be part of trying to get this thing turned around and tweak it and go? Because I still think that there's a pretty good amount of talent on this team. There are a lot of things I like about the team. Some things I don't, but a lot of things I really like about the team. I would think that that is an accurate statement, that they are going to be around as the team tries to turn things around. Because, Andy, if not... Wouldn't they be gone now?
Yes. 100% agree with that. They would be gone now.
Two coaches have been fired in the NFL already.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, Vegas isn't stupid. You know, you see the line. Well, it's not Vegas. It's offshore betting. But when you look at that and you see coaches, those lists that come out that say, oh, the coaches are going to get fired at this point or that. He's never really been up there high for having high odds of getting let go. Never. I don't know. I kind of look at I just think the only way this goes sideways, and it's really for Kevin more than anything, because if you're going to try to have accountability, it's either going to be Kevin or it's going to be Dorsey, because I think the defense has played well enough that we're not going to worry about Schwartz, right? So the locker room has to go completely off the rails for, I would think, Kevin to lose his gig. He just needs to maintain control of what he's got right now and make sure that everyone still has the same message. Everybody's, you know, the ship, whether it loses or wins, if it's going to take on, you know, some water, he's got to be able to maintain the buckets to get the water off the boat. That's it's really what it is. I think Kevin is the one who has the most to lose throughout this season.
And I also think if he has the most to lose and he ends up taking a hit, I don't think that's fair, and I don't think it's justified.
Well,
because he's coaching the guys that he's been given. He was given Deshaun Watson a quarterback. He was given Jameis Winston, who, again, I think, let's just see. Jameis has had a good game and he's had a bad game. So that's that. We'll see how it goes.
All right, so let's,
I just think the guy who's not overly responsible for this is Kevin. Now, the changing on all the assistant coaches, you know, last year and the year before with the special teams change, is that on Kevin? Is that on the organization? You know, if you change coaches and then you change play callers, which he's done, you know, and the offensive coordinator, if you don't like it and if it doesn't work, well, who's that on? You know, was that Kevin's call to move on from Alex Van Pelt? We don't necessarily know all the specifics on that, do we?
It just can't go worst case scenario. I think, look, if they end up the season, what, 2-15, Jeff? How many, I forget about the name.
Yeah, I don't know.
How many NFL coaches are bouncing back from a 2-15 season?
Yeah, I don't know how you survive that.
That's what I'm saying. You know,
But Pro Football Talk thinks yes. Their thought is yes. Contract extensions and everything else. I would think that if you've survived 2-7 and Deshaun not playing well, why can't you survive 1-7 the rest of the way? I think you could. I think the really tough part's already in the rearview mirror. You went 2-7.
Yeah, but the team
when you had playoff aspirations and you're still here.
The team still needs to show some kind of progress. You need to prove that you're still coaching, that your guys are buying into what you're doing. And if you lose a game by a play or two plays, you can see where things are correctable. I think if you're in ownership's seat, that's what you're saying. Okay, are the issues we're having correctable? Or are my issues right now misguided because the guy I have as my field general out there isn't making it happen? That's the only way I could see this thing going sideways. For Kevin.
I don't know. I honestly think if you've survived 2-7 and Deshaun not throwing for 200 yards and things just looking completely discombobulated and changing play callers and getting through the trade deadline, and you being in position to make the trades at the trade deadline, I think Andrew and Kevin have survived the rough spot already. Chris Rose is our buddy from the NFL Network. He's going to join us next right here on Baskin and Phelps. He's from the NFL Network. He's from Northeast Ohio. You see him on Browns preseason television. He's Mr. Chris Rose. Hello, Chris.
The thought partners. I heard that from Andrew Berry today.
You're an incredible thought partner.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, thought partner. Well, that's what they do at Harvard. They consider themselves, all right, everybody, it's not a group project. It's grab your nearest thought partner, and we'll go from there.
About that.
It's a good thing we went to Mac schools, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, Mac Tuesday, we were back last night.
I've got one thought for you here, and we were just kicking this around. And I kind of went from something that Pro Football Talk wrote after Andrew Berry's press conference. And Josh Alper wrote it, and he said there doesn't appear to be much question that Berry and Kevin Stefanski will be around as the team tries to turn things around in the future. And I thought, okay, I'm fine with that. I like Kevin. I think Andrew has done some good things. I don't have an issue with that. But I thought, I wonder if the final eight games is a factor in that at all. And the thing I thought, Chris, was they've survived 2-7, Deshaun playing terribly and falling out of the race already. I would think you'd survive almost anything that happens the rest of the way, would you not, if you're still here now?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that, you know, what if they only get, what if they finish at 2 wins or 3 wins?
Yeah, that was Andy's argument, and I think he has a great point. Yeah. I think you do, too.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that that's where you'd have to totally reevaluate everything. Listen, I'll talk Stefanski first. I do believe that Kevin is a very good coach. And everybody that I work with at NFL Network who has run into him believes that he's a very good coach. And, you know, the Deshaun Watson deal is the one that has hamstrung, and we'll see for how long, this organization now. It just, you know, when they made the trade several years ago, the one thing you did not foresee was this scenario of him playing not average football, significantly below average football. And, you know, you knew that there was going to be some things that came along with the trade, but you didn't foresee this at all. I really don't think so. I think if you hit the rewind button and if people were honest with themselves, people who covered the NFL, they might have said, hey, listen, y'all might be crazy for giving $230 million guaranteed and for giving up 6 draft picks, including 3 first rounders. But at the end of the day, once everything, whatever happens, happens, that guy can play football. This was not, I don't think, on the table for virtually anyone.
How do they fix this, Chris? I this bothers me. I'm trying to figure out how to, you know, everyone's like, oh, they should just trade away everybody on a 1-year deal and get draft picks yesterday. Well, they didn't do that. How does this get fixed?
You have to start hitting on your draft picks first and foremost. And I don't care, you know, fortunately, this coming draft, we do have access to a lot of draft picks. You've got to start hitting on them.
They tell me we have first rounder, Chris. I forgot
what that's like. I'm still trying to confirm.
Okay, good. I'll follow you on Instagram.
You know, but you have to start nailing these. You have to start getting guys who can contribute. You know, Mike Hall has got to, and he's shown some flashes. He's done some nice things in recent times, and you'll see a ton of him in the back half of this year. MJ Emerson has got to get back to what he was. He has had a very, very, I would say, poor year for him, because I really think he's talented. But you need other guys. You need DeJuan Jones to become your left tackle when he still has 2 more years left on a rookie deal. Like, that is the gold of this sport. It's not always paying guys $16 million a year to be good football players. It's paying guys $1.2 million a year to be just as good a football player. And it allows you to then really give guys like Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward, who are elite players, elite money. And we haven't done enough of that in rounds 2, 3, and 4 over the last few years to make a good team sustainable.
Did you find it interesting? And he made some comments about the offensive tackle spot. And as you said, DeJuan Jones on a rookie contract. I love that idea. I love the idea of a 6'8 left tackle. That's great. That Jed Wilson, a 5th year and free agency at the end of the year, is still on the team after the trade deadline. I thought he might be a commodity.
Well, you know, the Vikings are the team that lost their left tackle, and they traded for Cam Robinson from the Jags, who is a much more accomplished, albeit inconsistent, left tackle than Jed Wills. So they decided to go that direction. I don't think Jed has any value. I mean, what value do you have for a guy who has been inconsistent at best, injury prone, and then wasn't ready? I'm not here to question anybody on injuries, but man, I think there were probably some people scratching their head as to why he wasn't ready until several weeks into the year.
Right.
He didn't have any value. I mean, what value did he have?
Well, maybe a team that needed him. I didn't think you were going to get a big return. And if you did try to move him, Chris, boy, that's just waving the white flag that, boy, did we not do well on that pick. I just think it's interesting after the trade deadline, here you have the first guy Andrew Berry ever took as the GM of the Browns sitting there watching someone else play left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, listen, whenever you do this exercise and you say, well, we could have had so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so in the draft, really we needed a left tackle. We ended up taking a right tackle, moving him to left. Could you have done that with Tristan Wirfs, who got picked, I think, three picks later, maybe four by the Bucks? You could have. You know, you didn't have a shot at Andrew Thomas. He ended up going fourth that year and has turned into a very, very good player. So Wirfs is the one that you're kicking yourself for. And who knows what discussions they had, but they thought that Jed was a guy that could pull it off, and he hasn't. And he's going to move on at the end of the year, and he'll play somewhere else. And you hope, like I said, that DeJuan Jones is a guy that can do it, and you hope that maybe Jack Conklin is still healthy enough and productive enough to be the guy at right tackle. But you have to start, you know, we do have to start thinking about positions on that offensive line, because it went from good and veteran to old quickly.
There was a question about teardowns that came up in the press conference this morning, and somebody sent me a note yesterday. I was like, that's just so right. Like, we don't ever worry about, like, not we, but if you're in Pittsburgh or Baltimore, you're never talking about tearing everything down to get back to where you need and to have their consistency over the last couple of years. I'm just wondering if we're ever going to get to that phase where it's just a matter of, like, I thought we were there now. I really thought we were there now, and we're not, you know, and I yearn to be those two teams when it comes to being able to just, you know, plug and play a couple guys and then be good again the next year and make sure you, but I think it goes back to maybe something you said before, so not to be redundant, but doesn't it go back to who you're picking in the draft to make sure that you don't have to do these teardowns?
Yeah, I mean, those two teams don't nail it on every pick, but they get a lot of them right, and enough to be sustainable. And the guys that they don't, they're also two organizations that are not afraid to move on from veterans.
That's true.
You know, for years, that has been their calling card over the last several decades. They would rather get rid of a guy, you know, a year too early than a year too late. That is their philosophy, in part because they believe in their ability to draft and develop. And you can't argue with that. Now, a few other things. If you're going to look at Baltimore, they've had two starting quarterbacks since 2008, since they drafted Flacco. They went right from Flacco to Lamar, and it's been seamless, right?
Yep.
And actually better, right? He's an incredible talent. Pittsburgh, it's been a little bit different. You know, they had Big Ben play elite football for the better part of, you know, 12-ish years. Kind of the last few weren't ideal, and they have struggled elsewhere. But their defense has been so consistent over such a long time, and Tomlin has been so consistent that they have never, you know, hit that lull. Now, I do, you know, for people that are like, we've got a clean house, Barry and Stefanski have to go, I would just caution it. I would just say that, hey, listen, this was a gross miscalculation by an awful lot of people, and an extremely poor performance. And as much as it hurts, and almost as much as any season since we came back in the league in 99 because of the expectations that were attached, I just don't know if scrapping everything and starting over is what's best. But I don't know if it is.
I would agree with you. Actually, Chris Rose joining us from the NFL Network. Cedric Tillman looks like a guy who can really play, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, and that's one of those picks, right?
Yep.
You know, I saw an article by Bill Barnwell, who's outstanding for ESPN. He was talking about you know, some of these trades that have gone down in recent times and calling it a redrafting. I don't know if people paid attention, but Jonathan Mingo, who was a high second-round pick by the Panthers, just got traded to the Cowboys for a fourth-rounder, even though he has a whopping 12 catches this year for 100 yards, basically. Like, he's done virtually nothing at the NFL level. And what he calls it is a redrafting, meaning that teams were interested in guys when they came out of the draft. They went to other teams, but they think that if he still has a couple years left on his rookie deal, we can get something out of him. And he said that Elijah Moore was part of that, and it hasn't worked out in Cleveland. So you'll remember we traded a second for Elijah Moore and a third that ended up being Cedric Tillman. And that's the thing that could hopefully save that trade. I've always liked him. I was surprised when at the beginning of this year he didn't show anything early on. In fact, he had a critical fourth down drop early in the season at home. But now he has started to kind of get his sea legs, and he's one of the guys, if you're looking for some excitement over the last eight games, that's one of the dudes you'll circle.
I agree with you on that. Jameis Winston, DTR, how much do you want to see of each guy the rest of the way?
Well, I would understand the philosophy of DTR from this standpoint of that they are going to go through some hardships in terms of cap, right? And we just talked about it. Like, you have to get guys that can play certain positions for one-tenth of what you might pay somebody else. Jameis, I think, is making $7 or $8 million this year.
It's $8 million.
Okay, so $8 million, and DTR is making 1/9 of that, let's say. If you feel like he can be a credible backup quarterback, which I know that they value, particularly after what they went through last season, a credible number two moving forward, then you have to play him right now. It doesn't mean, oh my God, well, DTR is the future of this team. It means that if a quarterback gets hurt for 2 or 3 weeks, can he win 1 or 2 games to save your season? Because sometimes that's what happens, is that a quarterback goes down, not for the year, but for a short amount of time, and a guy can save it. So I think you'll see him at some point.
Thank you, sir. Good to have you with us.
No, wait a second. No Cavs talk? For God's sakes, they're unbeaten. They're great. They're fun to watch.
Yep.
They've got a coach who can actually draw plays.
Yep.
It's all really good. They're fun to watch.
This has been Cavs Talk with Chris Rose. Join us next week when we talk about how they're 16-0. But everything you said is 100% right. We're with you.
Thanks, buddy. Outside of the NFL trade deadline.
Huh.
And the NBA off. No games.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I thought that was good. Good idea by the NBA. Hey, it's election day. Go vote. No games. Go.
I think a lot of offices.
Pay attention to this. Go.
Off. We were encouraged to vote here. Everyone was encouraged to do it. If you needed a little time to.
I mean, I could have taken the day off and gone to vote.
You probably for the whole day.
Dang it.
It would have taken you the whole day. You know what's amazing?
Dang it. I thought that was a nice touch. Well done, NBA.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Now you'll have 13 back-to-backs to pay for it, just so you know.
And half the guys in the league will sit.
And 15 schedule.
And they'll investigate a quarter of those.
And 15 schedule losses in Miami when you're there on a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night after your bender.
And we'll hear, well, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, that's just Miami. You know, it's how you do it.
Why? How are the Miami Heat not like 41-1 at home every year?
I don't know, Jeff. What are they?
Or 40-1, excuse me.
They're 1-3 at home today.
I know. What's going on?
I don't know.
Maybe,
weird.
Maybe South Beach ain't what it used to be.
All I can say this is, if you got your phone and you got a camera, why don't you go take a peek at the NBA standings and snap a little picture? Because it is enjoyable to look at
that,
isn't
it? There
it
is, right there on top.
Boom.
Your Cleveland Cavaliers at 8 wins, no losses.
Yep.
The Boston Celtics, 7 wins, 1 loss.
That's right, Boston, second place.
And then, Andy, here's the interesting thing to me in the Eastern Conference right now. Okay?
Yep.
Third place team is 4-4.
Yeah, they're playing in the NFC West next
already,
year.
There's some legit separation here. The Brooklyn Nets are 4 games back, as are the Knicks, and as are the Miami Heat. Both of those teams are 3-3.
That's right.
And then take a look at the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
Look at that, Milwaukee Bucks.
Milwaukee Bucks are in last place in the East at 1-6.
Oof.
And who's in second to last place?
Oh, do we hear the song? if we have the song, it's totally worth it. It's totally worth it because I don't think we've heard it in a while. And I love the song. And it's well deserved of seeing that team who is in second to last place.
With a record of just 1-5. Second to last place in the Eastern Conference. Your Philadelphia 76ers. I'm serious. This is just the best. Hi, everybody. Welcome to 1973.
I'm trying to listen to the song.
That's enough. That's enough.
Is it bad the amount of times this song just gets stuck in my head for like 2 days?
Oh, we're all going to be whistling it all day now.
Stand up and cheer.
That's other than Come On Cavs, it's the best fight song ever. Anyhow.
Wait, hang on. We have to learn how to count.
Sixers.
I like the way they did that. You counted up from 1 and then down from 10. Landed right on the 6 and the 7.
You are schlep rock, man. Let me listen to the song.
Really good.
I wish we had the
We have a meeting today. I don't want to hear about the song.
I wish we were allowed to play the part of Slapshot where they're singing over the anthem.
We're not allowed
good.
To play anything anymore.
I know.
I just think it's really interesting when you look at the Eastern Conference standings right now. You have two teams on top. Nice. Cavs, Celtics, who you expected to be near the top. And you have two teams on the absolute bottom who you thought might be near the top. Now, it's only 6 games, 7 games, depending on who you are. 8 games if you're the Cavs. And I would assume that Philadelphia gets its act together. Joel Embiid hasn't played yet. The Bucks aren't good right now. I would expect they're going to get better. They've lost 6 in a row after winning their first game of the season. And Doc Rivers' hire not looking real good right now. I would assume that changes. I wonder, though, about the teams in the middle. Is anybody, you know, I like Indiana. I think Orlando's interesting. They're 3-4 and 3-5, respectively. It looks, what I thought would be a pretty competitive Eastern Conference isn't competitive early. Doesn't mean it's not going to change. And the Cavs aren't going to go undefeated, as we know. But, boy, Andy, they look pretty tough to beat. And they're doing it in a way that I think is really interesting. They're playing J.B. Bickerstaff-like defense. They have one of the best defensive, you know, points against in the NBA. And they're second in the Eastern Conference in scoring. Thank you, Kenny Atkinson.
Am I concerned that the teams they beat up on don't have very many wins?
No, don't. Knicks? You know what? Honestly, you can't do that yet. I know who they play. Toronto, Washington, to get things started.
Yeah.
Detroit. Okay, they weren't very good. Detroit's coming on a little bit. They've won a couple in a row.
Knicks have 3 wins. So.
And I get that. But the Knicks are a team that you think is going to be there anyway.
Yeah.
But their first 3 wins were against teams that really struggled last year. Toronto and Washington, Detroit. They were 3 of the 4 worst teams in the conference last year. The way the Cavs are playing right now, though, is it's a very good recipe for sustained success.
You mean team basketball?
Correct.
Wow.
Spacing.
What a concept.
Moving the ball.
We shouldn't have the ball stick?
Let me say something that'll get me slapped by
Uh-oh.
You. You ready?
Yep.
I hate games like we had the other day when Darius Garland scored 39 points. I know sometimes a guy just has it and you give him the ball and he shoots. Sometimes that happens. That's okay from time to time. I just hope you continue to share the ball and that Darius doesn't have a couple of really high scoring games and think, hey, I need to shoot more. No, you don't. You know, Donovan Mitchell backed off that game.
Yeah, because Darius was hot, especially.
That's okay.
I don't have a problem with that every once in a while.
No, exactly. You're going to have games like that. I just don't want to see it become something where, oh, wait a minute, I better get up 20 shots. No, you don't have to. You got a lot of guys who can score on this team. And you're giving the ball to a lot of different guys. You're giving minutes, most importantly, to a lot of different guys. So no reason that they, at this point, you'd be hard-pressed to say that the Cavs aren't a top-4 team in the Eastern Conference. Oh, not just based on 8 wins, no losses, based on the way they've played. I mean, they look pretty good, and other teams are really struggling. It's a long season. A lot of things can happen. Teams will get it together. But I'm real curious about Milwaukee and Philadelphia. You know, Milwaukee's just not playing well. And Philadelphia has Embiid out, now suspended, and NBA investigating his usage. The one thing about trying to save a guy and monitoring his minutes and, you know, load management and all that stuff for the playoffs, you got to get to the playoffs. And you've got to be in a decent position when you get there.
True. But I like the fact Kenny Atkinson is mixing it up. He's using more
guys.
I mean
the other teams.
No, I know.
You know, like Philadelphia. Okay, great. You're saving Embiid. Well, you're 1-5. How's that working?
Well, now he's got a 3-game rest, so he's okay there.
Not necessarily resting him. They say he's injured, but the NBA's checking into it and everything else. Is there anybody on the Cavs that you want to see get more? I think they're using Jared Allen nicely. I'd love to see a show of hands of everybody who screamed at us last year that you can't play two big guys.
You can play two bigs.
Who now love the idea that they're playing two big guys and getting them shots and they're scoring points. To all those people.
I was kind of interested. I mean, Merrill the other night got hot in the first half.
Sam can shoot.
Yeah, man, he can shoot. He can. He's still minus 11 on the floor, but he can shoot.
Overrated stat.
Oh, stop it. It's never overrated. Never.
Ask guys who played the game. They'll tell you.
I don't care. I'm telling
exactly.
You. I never think it's overrated. And there are guys that don't. Well, guys that care about defense don't think it's overrated. If you're playing defense, you take offense that you're minus 11 in a game. You're saying, what could I have done better to play better defense? But if all you want to think about is offense, Jeff, and that's all you know, that's
don't.
What you're all about.
I don't. There's this thought.
Well, if you don't like defense.
So you happen to be on the floor at the right time while somebody else was going nuts? Great. Congratulations.
What happens if it's your guy? That's when you look at that plus minus and you're like, what can I have done
on
better?
On your team. I think it's a very interesting stat. I don't dislike it, but I don't put a ton of weight in it all the time.
I'd like to call a quick 30-second meeting of the Evan Mobley Stockholders Club.
Yes.
Life is pretty damn good.
Look at Menigan being funny and creative.
Pretty damn good, I must say.
Yeah, I like what I've seen. I don't think there's any question. One thing I would like to see, this is tough now. In his first 3 years, he averaged either 11 or 12 shots per game. He's up like one shot per game.
He's got the ball in his hands more.
Yes.
He's making more of an
impact.
Life is pretty good.
I just want to see.
He's averaging more than two points per game over his career.
We'll take it, baby.
Yes, because he's good. Andy, because he's good.
But you're saying he's taking less shots.
No, I said he's taking one more shot per game.
Well, there you go.
He's taking two shots per game more than he took last year.
Well, there's your extra bucket.
I think that concludes the stockholders meeting for Evan Mobley.
Thank you. I would like to see, and this is tough, I'd like to see Evan get about 15 shots per game. That's only two more than he's taking now. But, Andy, you shoot 50%, you're averaging 19.6 points a game, you've got a legit big man threat, there you go. Done. I like it a lot. Andrew Berry was asked extensively about the man who wears number 4 for the Browns, who's not wearing it now because he's out for the season with an Achilles injury. We're going to go over these. Because though Andrew didn't want to talk about Deshaun Watson, sorry, it's the thing with this franchise. And we're going to dissect it next on Baskin and Phelps.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.